I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Raphael.
And we're too damn young
to be this damn confused. I thought TBT stood for Turn Back Time.
I thought Zendaya was a new fad diet.
Is it pronounced meme or mem?
We don't know.
But we do care.
So we are talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
OMFG is a shot of pop culture Botox that will, fingers crossed, keep us young and fresh.
And super of the now.
We're doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you, because let's face it,
you're probably pretty clueless too.
Hi.
Hi, Emily.
So what was being Deanna in dating in your 20s like?
Oh, we're just going to get right into the nuts and bolts of things, aren't we?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because we have a relationship coach on today named Laura Yates.
That's right.
And she's going to talk to us about, you know, dating, some pitfalls, some highs, some lows, some what do you do through a breakup,
mm-hmm.
some what we should have done
in our 20s.
In our 20s to have been more successful. Although I think we did okay.
I didn't do great.
No, but I mean like it turned out okay.
Oh, sure.
That's a great lesson, everyone. It always turns out okay.
Unless it doesn't. Yeah, I mean, for me, in my 20s, I feel like I didn't have game. You know, like I have a lot more game. I had a lot more game in my 30s than I did in my 20s.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know. I was like not confident. You know, I didn't feel like a relationship girl like you were a relationship girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't. Yeah. And so I didn't have that sort of affirmation that that's what I could be.
Got it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just didn't see myself in that light.
So you were just kind of like looking, lurking.
Kind of looking and lurking.
Yeah.
And I did have some kind of like, you know, when I think back to this one relationship, it's so funny to me because we were so on and we were on and off again, but we were never anything.
Right.
It was like in my mind way more of a thing.
Oh, God. Yeah.
We were really, you know, friends who dated. You know, we were dating, but like I thought it was a whole big thing. And I think he thought.
You were in a relationship and
he was not.
Kind of just hanging out with his friend who he took on dates sometimes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Although I would say probably, well, yeah, no, that's what happened, you know? And I just never had the cojones to kind of like say to him, you know? And then the one time I did, it was like a disaster, you know? Like we were in his car and I was like
probably
blubbering.
Because I feel like part of you already knew the answer.
Of course.
So you were avoiding asking it.
To an extent. Okay. I think that like, I was naive, mm-hmm. and I didn't fully – yeah, I guess I knew that he wasn't parading me around like this is my – he's never said this is my girlfriend to anyone.
Right.
So, and I never said this is my boyfriend, so I guess I did know that information. But I didn't have like the wherewithal to kind of
– I feel like that's a very common situation, and I'm excited to hear what Laura has to say about that.
Yeah.
I bet she's got some good insight.
I bet you she does too. Well, I guess we should bring her in here. She's from London.
Jesus, I can't wait.
Isn't that nice?
Ugh.
Finally, we class up the joint a little bit.
I don't know. It's been a stanky American up in here.
P.U.
Ugh, disgusting.
Let's get her in here. Oh, by the way, we are OMFG at OMFG Pod.
Follow us. Here she comes.
OMFG!
Hello, Laura. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
You're the first accent we've had on as a guest.
Oh, my God. I feel special.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, we might have had like a twinge of Southern before, but.
Maybe.
It's nothing.
It's nothing as glamorous as all this.
Oh, gosh.
We already think you're like, no matter what, you could lie to us right now about being a relationship expert and, you know, knowing things, but we will believe you.
Just because of the accent.
100%.
I think that's what I found about being here in LA. Like, I can say anything to anyone and they'll believe it.
Yeah.
Just
because
of the British accent. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Like a superpower.
I know.
It's nice to have.
It doesn't work at home.
I don't. But I don't think it goes the other way. Like, American accents do nothing in Britain.
Oh, I don't know.
No?
We love it.
Really?
Mm.
Get out.
Yeah.
Why? Tell us everything.
Tell us all about ourselves.
I don't know. You just sound very... it's an area, like it's a bit of sophistication about the US accent, you know?
Stop it. You are lying to our
faces.
I'm
really not. Well, that's my opinion anyway, okay. Especially American guys as well.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Does it make them sexier?
I think so.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's so it is reciprocal because we do feel that way.
And you girls too, of course.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, we're very sexy. We
you
get
are.
It.
So you're here visiting, right, mm-hmm. and for some work. Mm-hmm. What are you up to? What are you doing here?
Yeah, so I'm here partly with work. I've had a couple of clients here, and I'm collaborating with a couple of companies here. So I've had a few meetings, and just to hang out with some friends and really get a feel of LA life, and it's fabulous.
Are you in a relationship? And I'm sure everybody asks that of a relationship expert.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm single. I'm single and I'm dating at the moment.
So. Are you looking for an American man?
I mean, I wouldn't say no if the right one came along.
Okay. Is that part of your trip?
I'm not here for the green card.
Okay. Oh my God, I wouldn't go that far. But sure.
It's nice. It's been really nice for me to meet American guys and see how different they are from the guys in the UK. And there has been differences that I've noticed.
Really?
For sure, yes.
Like what?
I've been using Tinder mm-hmm. over here.
Okay.
And what I found back home is that it's very, very difficult to actually get off the app and onto a date. And usually the British men aren't as proactive as what the guys are over here. So,
over here, I think, just want to have the sex.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still probably quite naive to it all. But what I've found so far is that the dates that I've had, there hasn't been, this huge text exchange. It's been like, right, clearly we're probably going to get on. Let's go on a date. I'll meet you here. Are you free at this time? Let's do it. That's nice.
It's like, at least let's see. I agree with you. When I was mm-hmm. doing a dating app, I hated being in a long conversation. Yeah. You want to get something from the person, but to be going back and forth, you really get into like a false sense of what the relationship could be or the person is.
Definitely. And people can be so different on text as well. Yeah. Like people, you can take time of it. People can be really funny on text message and then you see them in person and they're just not like that at all.
Right.
Or vice versa. So I think it's cool to get in front of the person as quickly as possible.
So what are these English dudes doing on Tinder? They're just, what do they want to talk about?
They just want to have, conversations. Yeah. And it's like, I don't even know you, I don't even know you. And I think that people just have this thing about they really want to get to know each other first. And then what happens is they're talking to so many different girls that people just drop off.
Do you think that's what they're doing? Like the conversation is just like they're maintaining like 5 to 8 conversations with people?
Yeah, which is difficult. Which is difficult, especially when you're busy.
And do you think they're just like copy and pasting stuff?
Yeah, it's happened to me. I got a copy and paste.
Sure,
and
we've all gotten a copy and
paste. Yeah, but he used the wrong name. And then he was like, "What a dum-dum. This is awkward."
And you said what? Were you like, hi?
I did find it quite funny. And I said, what? It happens. Don't worry about it. But we didn't. Nothing happened after that.
Do you reveal immediately? And you're a young person and a expert in relationships all in one. So that's exciting for everyone here. Do you tell people that you're talking to that you are a relationship coach?
I've tried various ones with this. At first, I held back. I just said more that I was a coach, and
so broad.
Yeah, exactly. That could be anything.
Soccer.
But then what I found is it's actually better to be upfront quite quickly, mm-hmm. Because you know what? If the person is the right person for me, then they're going to get it. Mm-hmm. They are going to understand. So I've tried various tactics with that one, and I do find that being upfront is the best way to go.
I could imagine it would scare a couple people. Yeah,
it does. It does. And especially as I have worked with a lot of men as well, and I help a lot of men, get back into dating. So I think that
could be.
Have
you ever liked one of them?
Great question.
It happened once, but obviously, there are very, very strict boundaries, so nothing could happen.
Says who?
Says me.
Is there like a society with guidelines? Like, says who?
I just think it's an unspoken thing. I think it's like, I mean,
doctor
coaching.
Patient.
Yeah, it's like, counselor and their client. I think
they're bearing their heart a little bit, right?
Yeah,
they have to be able to open up to be like, here are my flaws.
Yeah.
There's a Julia Roberts movie waiting that is this story. Maybe Jennifer Lopez, maybe a younger person. Maybe we'll throw like a Kate Hudson or.
Even younger. Let's go Emma Roberts.
There we go.
Emma Roberts.
Yeah. She is, a relationship coach. And then she finds the guy. I mean, this is the stuff that, blockbusters are made of. So if you do us a favor and, give it a shot.
It actually was called The Wedding Planner with Jennifer Lopez and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. But
and that's a great movie.
Yeah. And this is a completely different spin on it, though, isn't it? It's kind of bringing it into the modern age.
Yeah. It's a really good. I love that. I love it. Let's do it. If we could just ink this deal before we leave today that we're all going to work on this together, like super that'd be down. Great. Done.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
We'll pitch it next week. You're still down?
Yeah, great. Sounds good.
Okay,
sounds
done. Good.
What age group of men do you work with in general, or does it totally vary?
It does vary, but recently it's more been guys in their 20s, actually, 20s, early 30s.
And what's their deal?
Their deal is that a lot of guys come out of relationships, they've come out of bad breakups, and they have these very instilled negative attitudes towards women.
Okay,
so it's really getting guys back to a bit of a neutral ground, you know, about not taking that into their future dating life, their future relationships. Because if you've got all of these, you know, tarnished views about women, if they've been really badly hurt and they're like, all women do this. And if they're, you know, if they've got a bit of money, they think, oh, she only just wants me for my money.
And does she?
So it's, but then it's because they're probably going for that kind of
girl.
Okay. So it's really figuring out, well, what are you doing? You know, stop being so reactive. Stop always putting the emphasis on the other person. You know, you've really got to bring it back to yourself and think, okay, what do I want in someone? I've got to be all of those things.
Whew.
You know?
That's funny. Damn, girl.
But do you get it? Because it's like so many of us, even as women, we have these checklists of what we want from someone. Oh, he has to be, you know, he has to have this kind of job. He has to, you know, be into this kind of sport and have these kinds of values, because we kind of gravitate towards people with things that we lack.
Okay.
But really what's important is if you're kind of looking at this checklist that you're creating for yourself, you've got to be all of those things to attract that kind of person.
Right.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the relationship isn't going to work if you're seeking something that you feel you don't have in someone else.
Yeah.
That actually lines up with like the best advice I ever got when I was like single and looking to meet someone. It was like, well, why do you want to be in a relationship? What do you need from that relationship? Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever I said, I don't remember. And it was like, give that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take yourself on those dates. Buy yourself those dinners. Buy yourself those things.
You absolutely. Know? Like,
and I think that's absolutely right. When you're lacking something, it's like,
yeah. Yeah,
you can give it to yourself.
You can, and it is such a cliche that, you know, you really have to be able to love yourself first to love someone else. But it's a cliche because it's very true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be kind of cool with yourself, being happy, being single, and then, you know, being in a relationship with someone is just an enhancement of what you've already got, and, you know, you're able to then bring something to someone else as opposed to relying on them to bring something to you. And then if you meet someone else like that, then it kind of creates this lovely harmonious relationship, hopefully. You
know, I feel like there are so many things that we hear about love that are just so wrong. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of people in their 20s enter into like a dating realm with these, you know, misconceived notions that you should be like, you know, like panting over some guy, like you're not, you can't sleep, you can't eat, you know, you're so in love, you can't stop thinking about them, you just want to, like, you know. And I feel like that's just, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I agree. I think there's a lot of emphasis, which is done by, you know, the Hollywood movies and everything, on this thing, chemistry, sparks. And, you know, often when that happens and we do get into that, oh, you know, I can't stop thinking about him, and like what you were just saying, that's actually not a really good place to be in at all, because that suggests that that could potentially be quite destructive in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no one who I ever couldn't stop thinking about, like, who consumed my every thought that was successful.
Yeah,
never.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, you know, you've got to have, you've got to like them. You've got to have those
of course,
those butterflies a bit, and that kind of inner excitement, but that you're not, so that your kind of everyday life isn't consumed by them.
Right.
What do you say to someone who's like, okay, we went on a date, we kissed, it was horrible. Done, moving on to the next.
Well, I think, would it be just the kiss that was horrible, or did you kind of feel like you were curious to get to know that person better? So I think I always say to people, go on a second date if there's still that element of curiosity, because those sparks can be built, and, you know, you can teach someone to be a better kisser.
You definitely can.
You can. Mm-hmm. But if you just thought, no way, we're just not vibing off each other, then move on.
Is there like a best first date, in your opinion?
I mean, I'm a big fan of the coffee date.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
See, I, that didn't work. Okay, go on.
Well, because
I just think that when you're seeing someone, maybe in a daytime situation, you're going to be seeing them really for who they really are, especially right. when we go out in an evening and there might be drinks involved. You know, things can get yeah. a little bit skewed there. And I've had some really successful coffee dates, okay. like really, you know, successful in terms of really being able to get a sense of who that person was and what they're about. And I think people are busy as well. And I think if you can find the time to at least, you know, spend an hour and a half, and then you have the option to then go on somewhere afterwards, maybe if you feel that you want to extend that day.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I kind of always felt like it was so unromantic and that didn't really work for me. You know,
yeah.
I kind of like felt like I was not even in the headspace
okay.
of being meeting someone in a romantic way.
Yeah, so, I do understand do you know what I mean? That. But I think another good option is something that where there's an activity involved. So something that the two of you can, there's already something there that kind of ignites the conversation. So, you know, whether it's something like sporty, something a bit out of the box, maybe wine tasting or
right.
just something where there's an activity involved. I think that's a really good first date as well, because
yeah.
you can then, instead of just sitting in front of the other person mm-hmm. where it can get quite nerve wracking and you've got something there in the environment that creates that conversation.
Do you think like dating right now for people in their 20s is harder than it maybe was a little bit ago?
I think so.
10 years ago.
I think it's harder. It's almost like there's more available because of all the apps mm-hmm. and everything. And that actually makes it quite disposable. Because
right.
like what I was saying earlier, it's what I know a lot of people come to me with and what I've experienced mm-hmm. myself is that you have these, you know, conversations with people and then the dates never actually happen. And I think, you know, with technology and everything, it's now very easy to just cancel dates and flake on people.
Right.
Whereas before, you didn't really have that option so much and you were a bit more selective mm-hmm. about the type of people that you were connecting with online. Now it's almost like you can order a guy or a girl.
Right.
Yes.
You know,
yes, you can.
So, which... You know, it's good in some ways, but I think you've got to be using those apps correctly, but finding, you know, the people who want to use them in the right way as well. That's the challenge. So
do you think there's a site that's more for like people who seriously want to date rather than like Netflix and chill?
Yeah, I think things like, you know, I think the paid sites, I think anything where you're paying and those sites have got credibility, like eHarmony, for example, those ones are quite good for people who are a little bit more serious about dating someone and, you know, they're looking for a relationship.
I found, and I don't know if you find this with the people you work with, but I have a best friend, my college roommate, and she has been online dating for 10 years.
Okay.
And I want her off the World Wide Web. You know, I just feel like, or maybe even longer, quite frankly. And I just feel like she doesn't, in real life, IRL, like she doesn't see people as options in real life because of this conditioning with
yes.
online.
Yeah.
And she kind of treats it like a business transaction.
Right.
Like it's like I go to the gym, I do this, I get my date in, I go and I, you know, get my book online. You know, it's all it's part of her sort of day.
Right. Why? Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like she's totally desensitized at this point.
Yes. Yeah. So I would suggest to her to maybe take a break, because it sounds like what she's doing is, yeah, she's almost treating it like a business thing.
Yeah.
And I think we can almost treat like the online dating thing as something completely different to the rest of our life, when really the type of people that we want to be meeting should be the type of people that are going to kind of float into our day-to-day life, into that kind of lifestyle that we have. So I would encourage her to think about, like, what sort of stuff does she like to do herself?
She is a professional organizer.
Okay.
She's a stand-up comedian.
So she must be meeting lots of people.
That's the thing. It's like she doesn't... I know her very well, and I've been out with her, and I see what goes on. I'm like, what's up? You know, and she won't approach people, like, in real life.
That's... Okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Did I just say her name?
No.
Okay, good.
you did, but we did can bleep it.
Okay, maybe we can bleep it. But, you know, she's a great girl. Mm. And, like, I think it... And she has had successful relationships, by the way, from online.
Right. Yeah, that was my next question,
actually.
Has. Okay. Okay.
So it's not that it hasn't worked on any level. It has worked. It, you know, it's just... I don't know. I feel like she's like in a weird spot where she's gone too deep in
She's gone down that rabbit hole. I would suggest that she gets offline for a couple of months and just really, really focuses more on the people that she's meeting in everyday life.
Right.
Really focus on having conversations with people, you know, when she's doing her stand-up or when she's in her work. Because, I mean, that kind of work really lends itself to meeting all kinds of different people. So almost if she gets...
you shouldn't date a stand-up comedian. I mean, as a woman.
Yeah.
You should not date...
as a female.
a man who is a stand-up comedian.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, I just... from my personal experience.
Okay. No. Because I love comedians, so this would be interesting.
I think in order to, you know, put yourself out there in that way, you have to be coming from a place of damaged goods.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Yes.
Yeah.
But... I mean, in her work, if she's an event planner, then she must be, you know, meeting all kinds of guys.
Yeah, well, she is an organizer. So
okay.
She'll, yeah.
Okay. And what sort of stuff does she do for fun?
What does she do for fun? She does, like, she works out. Like, she lives in Brooklyn and there's, like, outdoor.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Whatever the hell, workouts. And, you know, she doesn't drink. So she doesn't like go out that often. She tries to steer clear of that.
Yeah.
What does she do for fun? I don't know. What does anyone do for fun? You know what I mean? I don't even know. What do I do for fun? I don't even know.
She probably goes roller skating a lot.
Yeah. I mean, she lives life.
She could go meet someone roller skating. Yeah. But I would suggest that she just focuses really on noticing people. Half of it is just noticing people that you're surrounded with every day, whether it's in the coffee shop or, you know, wherever you go, you kind of tend to think of dating like you have to find someone online or on a dating app when there are people there all around you.
Okay,
everywhere.
So you're in a coffee shop, you see a hot guy, what are you supposed
to
do?
What does Laura Yates do?
Well, you know, you just kind of...
He's going to like sashay by and pull that shirt down.
Yeah, hey. You just kind of, you know, give him a smile.
Oh,
give him
that
a
old
guy.
Trick.
Well, because guys really need to have some kind of indication from the girl. Like, the girl doesn't necessarily have to go up to the guy, but he needs something from her because guys are under a lot of pressure to do this stuff.
Right.
And especially if they're a bit shy. It's hard for them. So you've got to give them something. I think women, we do place a lot of emphasis on the guy has to make the first move. And there is, I think there's, you know, there's something in that because that is nice. But you have to give him that, you know, indicator of interest.
Yeah,
first.
I feel like girls who do dating best know that. And the guy will do the move, but they have laid so many little layers and like done so much back work that it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But they still have made that move.
Absolutely. And I think that is the thing with online dating. You just don't really do that. You get into the habit of, you know, everything's done by text or email. So you kind of almost lose those social skills to be able to create those connections with other people.
Laura, I hate to ask you this question. Mm. You have a lovely accent. You seem lovely. But how do you feel about pussy pics? Just wondering. I know, you know what I mean? Like, I know that it might not be like...
Yeah, it's not my thing.
Okay.
Just a beaver shot every now and then, not going... Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, dick pics, that it's just a no-no.
I'm going to have to clear out my phone.
Yeah.
It's just a no-no.
We have a shared stream simply of pussy pics.
Do you?
It's weird, but we do.
It's your thing.
It's our thing, yeah.
We don't send them to our husbands. We just send them to each other.
Is this what you guys do in LA?
It's fun.
Is this the norm?
It's fun.
Brilliant.
It's our, like, that you said, what do we do for fun?
You know, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, more dating tips with the Laura Yates.
Absolutely. And we want to find out about social media etiquette, if you have any, for these youths.
For the breakups.
For the breakups.
We'll be right back. OMFG! And we're back with the Laura Yates, dating coach of the year.
A guru.
Oh, a guru.
A guru.
A guru. Thanks.
So, you know, we have a lot of friends now that are in their 20s from doing this podcast.
Yes, our little pod friends.
They come to us with, you know, just a lot of sad stories about trying to date and make their way through their 20s in Los Angeles.
Mm.
Guys and girls. Just, I mean, you know, a lot of what you're saying, we're like, you know, a lot of chatting online, but maybe not meeting up. A lot of just like gross messages online of like...
Bye, Philippe's.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, just gross stuff. And, you know, there's I think technology kind of makes it a new game a little bit.
Mm.
So, you know, we're wondering, after all of this, your phone attached to you, your computer, your everything, how does this really change the game?
What, the concept of online dating, you mean?
Yeah, I mean,
but also like the one thing we hear a lot is like nobody calls each other anymore.
Oh,
you
yes.
only text.
It really impresses me when a guy calls.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm like, why are you calling me?
No, well, it is weird. That's the thing. We've got to that stage where it's like, what's wrong? Is there an emergency? What's going on?
Someone died.
But actually, you know, having conversations with people, I think, is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really important. And I think it is. It's with technology, it's easy to make it very disposable. It's easy to just pretend that people don't exist.
Right.
It's easy to be able to cancel on dates. So we get very desensitized, I think, and we find it, as this whole kind of online dating thing's exploding even more, we're finding it harder, especially, I think, people in their 20s, where this is just the norm for them. It's hard for them to build up those social interaction skills,
right.
which ultimately is going to help them meet the right people, because that's what creates the connection. It's not the texting.
Right.
That doesn't create connection.
And it's going to help them, like, keep that relationship going.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there's so much emphasis on getting in the relationship, finding the guy, finding the girl. But then
you have to be in it.
You have to be in it. And you have to know how to kind of work those dynamics of a relationship.
Right.
Okay, this brings up some good questions. Once you're in the relationship and you're in it, I feel like, you know, Facebook can ruin things a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's talk about technology and trust issues. Are we snooping?
We're always snooping.
Let's face it, we are, aren't we?
We are. We've got to be honest.
Well, I think it depends on the person you're with. You know, there's certain, like, I've had boyfriends where
you've snooped.
You know, I've snooped, but you know what? If they're jealous, I'm jealous. If they're not jealous, I'm not jealous.
Right.
It really is like that simple for me.
Well, yeah, it depends a lot on the other person and how, like, they might trigger those behaviors in you.
Yeah.
You know, have you read the book Attached?
Mm-mm.
That's a good one, because it helps you understand, like, what type of person you are in a relationship. So there's, like, anxious, who is, you know, you're always the one seeking validation from someone else. There's avoidant, who the people who are a little bit more, you know, probably emotionally unavailable and see relationships as taking control of their life. They're losing their independence. And then there's the other one, which is secure, which is, you know, you're cool on your own and you're fine in a relationship as well. So if you get someone who is anxious with an avoidant person, it just exasperates those things.
But,
you know,
what
you find is that those two do tend to attract one another initially. And then once they're in that relationship, and I think that then, you know, where this whole thing on social media, if you've got one person who is the insecure one, they're probably more likely to be, you know, doing the snooping and trying to, you know, look into things that don't really exist.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah. I gotta say, don't do it.
I did it with one guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. It's hard. It's easy to go down that rabbit hole, but if you can stop it before you know, feel yourself doing it, you say, right, this time I'm just not going to go down this road because I know. Because nothing comes of it. Nothing helpful ever comes of it. Because if you don't find anything, then you feel like a bit of a dick. And
you
if you
do find like a dick. Or you do feel like a dick.
Yeah. And then if you do,
like when you say that,
then do you,
yeah. I like when Laura's like, you feel like a dick.
And then when you do find something, obviously, that's not very good either. And then there's all kinds of questions that might come up, like, oh, who's this girl? Who's that guy? And
you don't look good. There's no looking good when you're like, and just really quick, I was wondering who that. Like, it doesn't. It's not cute.
Because how can you ever?
Katie?
Just out of curiosity, like, who's Katie?
Well, I saw she, like, put something on your wall.
Just wondering, like, how do you know her?
Yeah.
Like, was she that girl, you know, Brian's cousin?
Like, because I looked at Brian, I didn't even see her in there. But, like, is that his, you know?
Because you end up looking at people who you just don't even know, because you're looking at friends of friends of friends to try and figure out how this came about, that this girl liked his picture. And before, you know, it's probably his sister's, you know, friend that is just means absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
So
what do you do? Okay, so, like, you just broke up with somebody and there's some social media protocol to deal with. So what do you do? Are you defriending the guy or girl that you broke up with? Maybe you've been together. Let's say you've been together a year.
Okay.
Are we defriending and blocking?
I don't think you need to defriend. I think what you can do on Facebook is you can hide their newsfeed.
Okay, fine.
Because sometimes, you know, it does get a little bit, if you're defriending. I mean, I actually did defriend my ex-boyfriend, but I felt that was very, very necessary at the time.
Because he was a stalker?
no, just because I just knew that that relationship had completely run its course, yeah. And I just didn't want anything more to do with
it. Fine.
But I think in many situations, as you know, someone for a year, hiding the newsfeed, I think at first, is just so that you're not going to be exposed to all of their updates. And yes. I think, you know what though, if you really do feel like the relationship is completely over, then go ahead and defriend, because you know, nothing can be gained from keeping right. in touch on Facebook.
What about social media, like the photos, the Facebook photos, the Instagram photos that are of the two of you having pumpkin lattes? Like, what yeah. do you think you should do about those?
Well, I mean, I think just try not to keep looking at them. If you want to keep them, because they're probably going to, you know, create future memories for you the way down the line when you're a little bit more emotionally away from this breakup.
Where you're like, dang, I looked damn good when I was dating Peter.
Right, you know.
But sometimes if it is a relationship where you just really need to clear your head of everything in order to be able to move on, then, yeah, go ahead and delete them. Or, you know, delete them and store them somewhere that you can go back to at a later date if you want to.
Okay. You know. Same with, yeah. Emily, do you think, what else do you think? Mutual friends?
Oh, yeah, like you're friends with their sister on Facebook or something. Do you defriend them? Like, do you have to clean house? What's happening
there? I don't
think
you need to defriend them. I don't think you need to be in touch with them.
Okay.
I think it's actually more about the not being in contact as opposed to what you do on social media. I think, you know, when you break up with someone, you need that period of not contacting them on Facebook, like, yeah. not liking their pictures, not texting them. You really need to get that emotional and physical distance from someone. And I think when it comes to social media, you just have to be really strong with yourself to not be always looking on their page.
Right.
And if that does mean that you have to defriend them or hide whatever they're doing, then do
Fine.
That. Yeah.
Do you have any particular policy or feeling on, like, I feel like people are too quick to say, I'm in a relationship. And then you have to be out of a relationship at some point. And it's all very public. You know what I mean? And I wonder, do you feel like...
On Facebook, yeah. You mean, I think it's completely unnecessary.
To state, yeah. I'm in a relationship yeah. with so-and-so.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do that because they want that. It's almost like when you're in a relationship in Facebook, it means more than if you actually get legally married. You know, it's almost like it validates it for some people. And I right. think if you're comfortable in that relationship, which you should be, then you don't really need to put that on Facebook.
Okay.
Because you're right, you know, a lot of relationships do end.
Yeah, and then, most of them.
Well, yeah, and then you've got, you know, with the broken heart, so-and-so is now single, and it's just, it just doesn't help that whole going through the breakup.
Right.
It just exasperates it.
Yeah, and so, it's so, yeah. Why does your aunt from, like, New Jersey need to have that information? It's not everybody's business.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. So I think, yeah, hold off announcing these things on Facebook. You should be spending more time in the relationship.
Okay. So we just want to quickly, we kind of teased in the beginning who we were in our 20s with dating and kind of like where we were coming from. And maybe if you could give advice to our 20-something-year-old self.
Okay.
And, you know, I will start with myself in my 20s. I feel like my deal was that I was such a late bloomer that I didn't start really dating until college. And then I was living in LA and I feel like I was just not confident enough. Like, I was dating a guy who was 36 who was like so old. Like, I couldn't even believe it. But he looked like he was 28, but he was 36 and I loved him. I was like super into him, but I never asked him where we stood. So we would always, like, go out and do things, and we were, you know, sleeping together and whatnot.
Ooh.
But I never asked him, where do we stand? So in my mind, we were exclusive, but we weren't. Mm. And I never had the cojones to say to him, like, hey. And this was such a long on-again, off-again thing. And then I was, like, hysterical when I went there and I asked him, I was like, and he was like, you know, if you... Going forward, like if you, and it was very good advice. He's like, if you want to know something and if you're not sure and you need to know where the relationship is, you need to ask and you need to have that conversation. And it was excellent advice.
Yeah, that is very good advice.
Going forward. I mean, I don't mean to take your advice, but him to take your advice. But that was sort of like, I just feel like my confidence level was not I didn't have enough sense of like who I was and what I had to offer in my 20s.
Yeah, I think if anyone is listening who feels that they're in that situation, I think being able to communicate your needs and your wants is very important. But that's about thinking about what your boundaries are. And that comes a lot from knowing who you are and what you're about and what makes you feel good and what makes you feel confident. But you have to know those boundaries in order to set them. So, and it's hard when you fall for someone, especially when you are quite young and maybe you fall for someone a bit older and you're kind of looking to them as this like, oh,
right.
It doesn't get better than this. But you have to, if you know your boundaries and you really live by them, then you can have that open communication with someone without coming across needy.
Right.
So it's like, look, this is where, you know, we're obviously having a great time together. This is where I am. I'd really just like to get an idea of where you are, because right now this is what I want. And I just really want to see if our paths are kind of going along the same way. And, you know, I'm not necessarily saying that we have to get married next year, but I just want a clear idea of where this is going so that then I can decide whether that's right for me.
Yeah, the way you're saying it, it's like confident, not needy, not thirsty. You know,
I love that.
Just a simple conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, dare to have the conversation.
Dare to have the conversation.
Get your shit lined up.
Yeah, and listen to them, listen to what they're saying. And you can do that without freaking out. You know? And once you've said it, it's aired, and then it's up to them.
Right.
It's up to them. And then based on what they tell you, you have to be really strong.
Right.
And go back to your boundaries and think, well, they're telling me this, I have to listen to it.
Right. That's hard.
It is hard. Because often they'll say something and then we'll, it might not be what we want to hear or what we want, but we want to be with them so much that we kind of, we compromise our own boundaries.
Right.
So you've just got to be strong
with
them.
That's really good advice. I wish you there when I was in your 20s. Well,
this is all things that I've learned.
Right.
Through my own mistakes.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Emily, what about your 20-year-old self?
Oh, you know, I had a lot of long, successful relationships. I'm perfect.
You did, though. You had a lot of, like, you were like a relationship girl.
A serial monogamous person. Mm. But I was telling Deanna that, when I read that one line in Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants, that's like, when choosing sexual partners, remember, talent is not sexually transmittable. That really spoke to me because I definitely was, kind of dating people whose careers I wanted.
Yeah.
That was my fatal mistake.
Yeah. That's like going back to what I was saying before. Sometimes we gravitate towards people who we feel who have something that we aspire to have ourselves. And, sometimes that can be quite inspiring. Like if you're using it as inspiration to kind of fuel yourself and what you want to do, that's fine. But if you're just looking to someone to fulfill something that in you that you feel you lack, then that's probably not going to work out so well.
Okay. So biggest dating tip you can leave us with. What can you leave? What can you leave the good people, the good listeners with? Best practice.
Okay. So when you are going on a date, remember to always ask the question why and place more emphasis on that than instead of what. So, you get the what do you do? What music do you like? Asking the question why, like why do you do what you do? Tell me about what you love about your job. Or why do you like the type of music you like? Because that is going to get them to reveal more about themselves and their personality. And that is what creates deeper connection.
So, Sam, why do you do what you do? I caught him at the
what?
What? Why do you do what you do? Do you love your job? Why do you do it?
Why do I do this?
Yeah.
I think this might be the stupidest thing you can do with an engineering degree.
There you go.
But in a very good way.
Yeah.
Like this might be the most fun job you could have with an engineering degree.
Now, Laura, Sam is on a dating hiatus. Is it over?
Oh, yeah. Sexual sabbatical?
It? Yeah.
Done.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done. Okay. Back in.
Are you back in because you're back in because you're back in?
Or are you back in because we have such a gorgeous guest here today?
Aww. It's both things. Some solid wingmen in here.
Are you looking right now? What's your deal?
I'm looking. I'm back
you
in.
You are? Are you back in for what, though? A relationship or just to
all
get
right, first
some
off,
sex?
No, you can't slow ask down.
No,
you have
just
to ask why. Are you back in for why?
Are you back in for what? What are you looking for?
Now
that you're back... You are?
Yeah.
Aww.
Your tone is very weird.
Because I don't...
You are?
...know that I believe that.
That stinks.
I believe it.
You're looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
What are we looking for?
What am I looking for?
What specifically?
All right, this is a lot at once. I'm not really sure.
Can Laura, can we work through this a little bit?
I think so.
Okay, so Sam, obviously a cute guy.
Yeah,
he's got a job. He's got skills.
Yep. Skills.
What, the best relationship you ever had, what was so great about the girl?
Oof, that's a toughie.
I like people that have a lot of empathy. It's a big turn on.
Okay.
I think that the people that I've dated that have gone really well are like they have jobs that are naturally full of empathy. One was a veterinarian.
Okay.
That type of stuff.
Interesting.
Does that help? Does that answer your question?
That's huge information.
You like people who care for things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
People who are passionate about
things. I like that.
Not and psychopaths.
Do you want them to be empathetic toward you?
I don't necessarily need to be, I guess.
Okay.
But just knowing that someone has that quality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important because I think that's a really good answer because it shows that you're looking for qualities rather than, you know, oh, she must look like this. Or I mean, obviously physical appearance, physical attraction is a thing, but it's more about, you know, what the person is about, what they're like as a person, what their values are. That's what you kind of should be thinking about if you're wanting a relationship, especially.
Right.
Yeah.
How long are you in LA for?
I'm here until...
Oh, shit!
Shut up for a minute.
Only till Wednesday, Sam.
I can do that.
This time.
Oh, my God, I'm sweating. Oh, my God. It's happening. Everything's happening. It's always Sam.
Well, he hasn't asked her out.
All right, I'm breathing.
Are you crying?
I'm breathing.
You're crying.
Go.
What?
Huh? What? I'm waiting.
Continue your podcast, man.
Oh, okay.
No. I thought you had a question.
I think he'll wait till we're...
Gone?
Well, till we're done.
Off the air?
Okay, great. Okay, well, we have done it. Laura, where can people find you?
People can find me on my website, which is laurayates.org. They can find me on Twitter at laurayatesuk and Facebook, laura.yates.
Awesome.
Thank you. Is there a phone number people can find you at?
Giggles, so many giggles.
Oh my goodness.
I'm dying.
I'm
dead.
Well,
I'm on the ground.
Love was made today.
I'm on the ground.
History was made.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you for having me.
The way, you're welcome.
Oh. No, it's been great to chat to you girls.
So great to talk to you. Let's get some pictures taken. Let's do our wrap up and let's get these more.
Meow. OMFG! British people are the best.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest, I didn't hear a word she said. I was just listening to the lilt of her beautiful voice.
That's funny.
I'm just kidding. She had a lot of great, great points that she made today.
Oh, yeah. We could talk to her for another, 3 hours, I feel like.
I feel like we could bring her back next
for
time
sure.
She's, you know, jumping the pond.
Yeah, as it were.
Because she really did have a lot of good insights. I didn't know if she was gonna. She's a youthful lady herself.
Yeah.
But
wise
she's
youth.
Just someone who learns from her experiences, right. Which a lot of us don't.
And you know what? She is a very good listener and she's very connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like I wanted to tell her things.
Yeah.
Sam, what happened out there? What happened?
Nothing happened.
What do you mean nothing happened?
Nothing happened.
But you were talking to her for 5 minutes while we were in here.
Just making polite conversation.
Are you going to hit her up?
Nah, I'm not going to hit her up.
Why not?
I don't know, man.
Sam, but she was so pretty and you liked her.
She was very pretty.
But you liked her. No? Did she say I'm not? Did she say no?
I don't know if I'm allowed to hit on guests that come in here.
What?
Oh, okay.
I think
that's
it might
fair.
Be frowned upon.
What is
fair.
Everybody with these rules? She can't hit on her people. You can't. Let's all live.
Let's go burn our bras.
Okay, so that's not happening.
I'll burn a bra right now.
Is that not going to happen then?
I don't know.
Okay, it is happening. You're just not saying it on the air, and that's fine. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay, I can't live with myself if you guys don't go out.
Give me your phone number then.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Done.
Great. That's satisfying.
So that was great.
We made a successful match. We maybe should be the relationship coaches.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever felt so good.
Well, we've done something
today.
We've
done something. For once in our lives, we accomplished something. Great. Okay. We learned that if you're dating online, you know what? Try to, like, get on the phone and have a conversation.
Yeah, that one's going to be hard for a lot of people.
All right, but try it. That's what Laura told us. Also, try to maybe, you know, not go back and forth for 5 million years before you actually meet someone. Like, if you're interested, go out and meet them, you know?
That's good advice. Just meet. And go on a second date.
Go on a second date unless it's a terrible beyond repair first date and you know that they, like, smell. And then also,
I don't think she said that, by the way.
I did hear that. you know, when you're trying to find out something about somebody and you're just asking them, like, closed-ended questions, like, you know, what do you do? Where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. Stop doing that and start asking, like, hey, so why do you do what you do?
Change it to why.
Why did you live where you lived? I don't know if that's a great one. But, you know, probe. Get to know someone's, like, intention. Give great answers like Sam did.
Yep. And you guys can follow us at OMFG Pod online, the Twitter, the Snapchat.
The Instagram.
We're not on Snapchat, I lied. but speaking of Snapchat, I want to shout out at Gia Shamia.
What? Are you lying?
No, that's her name. It's beautiful. I love you. So I think I finally got over my fear of Snapchat and totally nailed it with my story sequence tonight. Thank you at OMFG Pod for the youth's courage.
You're very welcome, Yashmia.
It is our pleasure to give you that gift of courage.
I'm Deanna Raphael at Deanna Raphael.
I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
It's all that I can give to you. Love. It's more than just a game for two.
Here's five reasons to listen to Who Charted.
Number five, Howard.
It sounded fantastic. It sounded big and bombastic.
Number four, Cool Up.
Oh, my God.
Number three, Starred.
Are you serious? Don't wait.
Number two.
Guests.
And my real name is not Kether Donahue. I'm in the witness protection program.
Number one, the charts.
If they could keep this promise that it really was the last witch hunter, I might be interested.
Check out Who Charted every Wednesday at earwolf.com or your favorite podcast app.
Charts.
Pop.
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 Pop. This has been a Wolf Pop production. Executive produced by Paul Scheer, Adam Sachs, Chris Bannon, and Matt Gourley. For more information and content, visit wolfpop.com.